Blog Talk Radio. The Egg.
Screwing up our telephone lines and We are coming on a little bit later this evening, but nevertheless, we are here in full form. Once again, I'd like to say Alafia, Hotep, and greetings to all of you newcomers. And to my old friends, I say, what's up? What's happening? And to the little G's with a big head full of wisdom, I say, go ahead on, little G, go ahead on. And to my preschoolers and kindergartners, what up, kindergartners? What up, preschool? Youngsters, stay in school. Make something of yourself. It is our desire to close the gap of the disparity of African Americans not attending higher level academians, college that is. We are forcing the issue. We want every African American to graduate, not with just a GED, but with their diploma. We also want them to enter a level of college. I don't care if it's a two-year technical, but we want you to go somewhere instead of sitting on your duff saying how hard it is. You know those commercials that come on talking about going to college? Listen to them. Enroll in school. Find out how you need to get the financial aid with your FAFSA. And if you need any help, call on me here on the show. I'll help get you started. I promise I'll give you that commitment. It is my commitment to show you the process of working out the financial aid documents so you can get that filthy lucre. You know I'm all about the filthy lucre, so just come on in and call on me right here at this 646-478-0270. If you youngsters are trying to get in school, I have 2 degrees. I can show you how to get enrolled in school and apply for the financial aid that you're obligated to. Now, some of you might make too much income and your families have made too much contribution. You might not be eligible. But for those of you who family on fixed income, low income, you want to go to school, this is the place to inquire. Inquire with OMI. I promise you I will set you on the path of finding out how to get your filthy lucre through financial aid, Pell Grants, as well as loans, direct and unsubsidized. The main thing is our goal here in this room is closing the gap. And before we get started, I want to stop, thank my higher self, thank Oladulamare. I want to also thank those ancestors whose shoulders we stand on. I want to pay homage to my mother and father's spirit today. I light a candle for my mother's spirit and I say Ashe. If you all will say that with me, I appreciate it. I light a candle for my father's spirit and I say Ashe. I pour a libation and a glass of water for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I wash my hands and face so that I'm not greeting them with a stale face. I pour libations to the east, I say Ashe. I pour libations to the west, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the north, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to the south, and I say Ashe. This you do in remembrance of your family, your ancestors, and your spirit, as well as remembering the Black Family Pledge. The Black Family Pledge was written by Maya Angelou. I'd like to read it to you for those of you who have forgotten it. Because we have forgotten our ancestors, our children no longer give us honor. Because we have lost the path, our ancestors cleared and kneeling perilous underground. Our children cannot hear us crying. Because we have abandoned our wisdom of mothering and fathering, our befuddled children give birth to children they neither want nor understand. Because we have forgotten how the love, the adversity is written in our gates and hold up the mirror of the world shouting, regard the loneliest. Therefore we pledge this day to bind ourselves to one another, to embrace the loneliest, to keep company with our loneliest, to educate our illiterate, to feed our starving and to clothe our ragged, to do all good things, that we are more than keepers of our brothers and sisters. In fact, we are our brothers and sisters' keeper. Who is our keeper? We are our brothers and sister keeper. And toiling and imploring with God's golden tongue and gratitude to the same who brought us out of hopeless desolation, we make this pledge here and now, this day, that we will be each other's keeper. We are each other's keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am my brother's keeper. Remember that, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, this is what Only in This Room stands for. Now, do I have a treat for you this evening? We've been talking about knowledge is power. Say it with me. Throw your fist in the air and say, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. I want to give out three harambes to Brother Delaney, our man who I miss so much and have not thrown my fist in the air in a while. And I'd like to say, harambe, harambe, harambe. What up, Brother Delaney? Keep on pushing on, brother. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a special night. This is the aftermath of the Mother's Day. Didn't he have a great time with Cal singing in here, giving us his rendition, singing a cappella straight from his voice without backup? And then he followed up with those great songs. We had a great time in here on Mother's Day. If you haven't had a chance to listen to our tape on demand for Mother's Day, go out and listen to it. Lock that dial in. Keep it right there. 646-478-0270. Lock it in, little G. I said keep it right there. Now, this topic is called, As for Me and My House, We Shall Serve the Lord. And I'm laying down the law because we're talking about law. Every woman should have a law in her house. And it should be so understood that her children know exactly what she stands for and what she upstands and how she lifts up a standard. You know how I know this? Because when you press a point so well, you don't have to worry about telling your children. When you put it in their spirit, it will be in their loins, and they will rise up and remember what you put in them. Now, why am I saying this for me in my house? What I'm saying to you is this, people. When the flood comes against you, you must lift up a standard. You can't be ready to lift up a standard when it comes around the corner. You can't be fixing to, going to do it, already doing it. I thought I did it, and I should have, could have, would have, but you should be already in position. Because when you have a standard already in your house, it's already lifted up, so when the flood comes, it can't penetrate. Now, what are you saying, Omi? I'm saying that this is my Mother's Day speech I wanted to give to the women the other day, but because we had a guest, I had to put it off. But it's in my spirit. I had to eat this message myself. Sometimes in a household, people will take it for granted that when you shy away and stray away from church that you no longer have a standard. Church does not ordinarily give you a standard. It has to be what you stand for, what your rep is, you know, your swagger. So when you're out in the community, people don't have to see you with a black velvet outfit on and the collar showing that you're an evangelist or a minister. They need to walk after your fruits and look at what fruits that you leave behind. And signs and wonders should follow you. If you say who you are is who you and what you do, you cannot just expect to plant oranges and all of a sudden you're going to get grapes. It doesn't happen like that. We have to lead a lifestyle. We have to be able to leave an impression. And as for me and my house, that impression is this. We will serve the Lord. I don't care in whose church and what minister is preaching. I don't care what game they're running. It is my obligation to go into the storehouse, into the house where they said we are not forsaken together and of ourselves together. I don't care where it's at, even if I don't have membership there. Because I can allow my temple to be the institution called church. But for the benefit of our children who we're demonstrating for, we must take them to church. There's no two ways about it. You can't say that you love Christ. You can't say that you sold out for Jesus. You can't say that God is my all in all. You can't say that Jesus is the answer unless you show and demonstrate that to your children. See, my Jesus is Orumala, which is no different. They just stole the name and called it Jesus. But I still love Jesus because I know who he is. He's Orumala. He was there at the right-hand side of God at the inception of man. He was the one that molded and sculptured each one of us. So I know that Jesus to be a magnificent, beautiful black man. who falls in the category of an African. Be it as it may, you might not have a black Jesus on your wall, but I do, because I've read the history and I read the writing on the wall, and I know the description of the brass feet and the woolly hair has got to be a black man. When you know that, your children know it. Now, here's my case in point. And this is what you do in law. You have to create a case in point. And I will give you a prima facie case. I must have been doing something so well in teaching my children about the fact that this book was written for the African Americans, that these people that were traveling around for 40 years had to be African American men and women. And if they went over into Egypt, and if they were white, Caucasian, Asian, they sure as heck weren't when they came out. If they stayed there for over 40 years, they came out black. My children got that message, and here's how I know. Here's my case in point. For a gift, about 2 years ago, my son gave me a beautiful black portrait of a black Jesus. Most mothers would have fell out dead in their tracks and said, "Son, don't you know we worship a blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus?" Most mothers would have rejected it, and some of them would have had gnashing of teeth, and they would have taken their son in the back room and schooled him. But I embraced my son because I knew he got the message of what I was trying to teach him all his life. That picture is so special and so properly fitting in my living room that everyone who comes here, they have to take a glance over at that Jesus. And you know how we used to have those white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus that follow us all throughout the room with those eyes? This Jesus does the same thing, except for he has those burly, curly hair, black, kinky hair, and his muscles are swollen up when his robe rolls up off his shoulder, and the brass feet. So every woman would fall to their feet over Jesus. So if my son couldn't give me a man to place here in the house, he put a black Jesus over me for protection. I knew what he was trying to do. He was trying to say, "Mama, all you need is your Jesus. He will protect you." And spiritually and mentally, we put that in our psyche. And I don't care what you want to say, we put it in our psychic for those women who don't have a man and they believe that Jesus will be their husband. In the Bible, God said he will become our husband's tree. But so for those of you women who don't have a husband right now and you've been used to having a husband, read the scriptures. It said that Jesus, it said in the Bible, it said God will become your husband's tree. Not that you should physically marry God and tell a man, "I don't need no man, I'm married to the church." No. By all means, you better not get married to a church, because the preacher will let you down too, and you have to let them go, because pimps are pimps. I don't care what you say, and eventually, their women have to leave. Don't let no preacher pimp you, and don't go saying that I'm selling out and I'm going to marry the church. You can't physically marry the church. You have to marry a man, a physical being, and preferably a black man if you're a black woman. Now, I want to talk to you. Can I come in your living room, and can I minister to you for a minute? As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I didn't say serve the church. Now, you must have rituals in your house, Mother. I talked to you once about the unleavened bread feast. You must do a feast in your house that's fit for a king and fix up all of the lovely food that you fix. And on that day, before Passover on that Friday, you must have a feast of unleavened bread, and fasting must go on before that ritual is done, where they put the hyssop of blood over your doorpost so you can transition on and the evil things can pass over you. Do that so that your children will see that you have rituals and traditions. Then there's another one, the second harvest and feast that you must have in celebration is the first fruit and gathering whatever you bring in, meaning your money, meaning the harvest of your crop, giving that first fruit to God, not necessarily going to the church to my head, "Pastor, here it is, I want to donate all this money." No, giving your time, volunteering in your community, finding somewhere in the community you fit in and get in where you fit in and give up your pro bono time. And I'm talking to you professionals out there. Start volunteering. Give your first fruit, your best time. Don't go giving a second-hand, second-class basement life. I'm talking about volunteering and giving your best work. What do you mean, Omi? I volunteered every state I lived in. And not only did I volunteer, I gave myself feverishly and still in the process of giving right here on this radio show. That's right. I could be holding down a radio station that pays, and I could be using my orator to benefit me, but I know the benefits of volunteering. You should, too, so give your first fruit. Now, there's a third festivity that you should acknowledge, and this is the last one of the year that your children should see you acknowledge, and that is the Feast of Gathering. Gather everything you got in your garage. Gather clothes you don't need and go and donate those clothes. Don't hold on to them. Don't say, I should be paid for this. Find some way to get something in somebody else's hand so that your hand is open so that you can receive. It's the process of sowing and reaping. Now, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Now, and the commandments he left for you were only two. So if you can count to two, you can do this. To love thyself. To love thyself. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Now you say, Omi, who is my neighbor? When we got transition and all of this relocation and subjugation, people moving from here to there. Who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is the one that you see out in the courtyard. Your neighbor is the one that you see in the supermarket. Your neighbor is the one you see at the church. They might not necessarily be next door, but you are to serve them. Ladies and gentlemen, as for me and my house, we will learn to become servants because it is a preparation for leadership. You cannot lead anyone unless you've learned to humble yourself and have known infliction. Because to know infliction and suffering is to be able to identify with the suffering of the masses of people. If you have not learned to suffer, you will never know what the masses of the people have gone through. God said he will let it rain on the just and the unjust. And as you understand what suffering is, you can have humility for those who are going through. Now, I'm telling you, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And I'm not talking about no church. Let's get it straight. So many of us are serving a dead institution. And when preachers get up in the church and start telling you about the marriage and the process of Jesus' first miracle, and they talk to you about this wedding as if nobody knows whose wedding it is, you got to call them to it. Ask them, whose wedding was that Jesus and his mother was at? And why would he be at the wedding of Canaan? Why would this be so significant? And why did him and Mary Magdalene go into the city as if they were going to an aftermath of the honeymoon? And just who is this wedding for? Call them to it. Because so many times they want to cite this wedding, but they don't give raise to who the wedding is for. We have got to inquire and ask our pastors to find research in history to bring laws together so that they make sense to us. Now, once again, as for me and my house, I'm laying down the law that whoever comes past that threshold knows that there's a lifestyle that you have to lead. The lifestyle meaning that whatever we obtain, we work for it. We do not take anything from anyone. We always acknowledge the fact whatever we can do for ourselves, we let no one else do that for us, because it will keep you in self-reliance. It will help you become legitimate people. Illegitimate people lie. Illegitimate people commit fornication. Illegitimate people will do whatever under the sun. When you know what you and your household stand for, there is only so much that you will do. But if you have no standard lifted up in your household, you will just about do anything. ladies and gentlemen, you are to lift up a standard and stand tall and cry loud and show your family what it is that you stand for. And tell them, as for me and my house, put it on the doorposts. I used to have it mounted at my door when people walk in. And they would say, well, what is this that you and your household will do? Then they would watch you. They would observe you to see if they could catch you up. They would even put a snare for you. And they would even make accusations just to see if you are going to fall away from what it is that you and your household are going to do. But you must stand strong. I don't care if you don't have a pot to put a chicken in. I don't care if you don't have income coming in. I don't care if your unemployment has dried up. I don't care if the state has decided not to give you your disability money. I don't care if the welfare has put you down. Because, see, if God is able to provide for the Pharaoh, the little sparrow who has nothing, how much more will he give to you who will ask? And if we, being evil, can give good gifts to our children, how much more can the Heavenly Father give to us who ask? All you need to do is ask. Remember, you're royalty. You reside with God on the inside of you. He is your bosom buddy. When you need to contact him, he is in you. All you need to do is keep a clean vessel, then tap in. Why don't you tap in right now? Why don't you tap into the airways and say, as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. He said, if your word be in him, if you be in his word, and his word be in you, you can ask him what you will. And you can command him. He said, command you me. He said, and make me watch over my word to perfect it. Go back and recite what his blessings are to you. He said you would be the head and not the tail. You would be the cornerstone that the foundation was built on. Remind him of the promises he made to you. He wants you to remind him. And he said you could call him friend. He said that you can call him friend. You can get to know the mind of Christ and call him friend. Why don't you decipher what mind Christ has? And why don't you ask God what were the promises he made to you? He said they were yea and not nay. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we have known for a long time that God resides with us. That there was no God out there in that atmosphere. And nothing coming to take you away in the sweet by and by as they catch you up in the sky. So you might as well start acting like a God and knowing that as for you and your house, you shall serve the Lord because he's in you, he's in you, he's in you, he's in you. And if you do not serve the Lord and serve yourself, you have created a blasphemous situation. You cannot love anyone until you begin to love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, and get all excited about the God who lives within you. And people see how much you love the God within you and how well you treat yourself. They can't take advantage of you because they know God dwells with you. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That is God and I cooperatively working together on one account. Now, what do you mean, Omi? You're laying down the laws. I want to lay down the laws and say this. I love all forms of religion. I love all forms of people because God has said that whatever he brings here to correct the problem of the human race, it will be for all benefit of the good of everyone. So you might as well line up and get in line with what he has required of us, black and white. There's no way that this world is going to continue to function in the way that it is and think that God is going to prepare a place somewhere for you. If he said he was going to prepare a place for you somewhere, it must be over in Africa because that is the land that is full of milk and honey. I don't care what you say, African Americans. You may have never grown up there. Your pappy, your mama, and your baba never lived there. But nevertheless, he's gone to prepare a place for you. And you might as well get it in your spirit, Africa is a place called home. And it is a motherland that everybody sucked off the mammary glands of, but African-American. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord in his many mansions. And the mansions that he's gone on to prepare for us, we will access those. Get it in your spirit, African-American. Caucasian, some of you are already over there with your second homes, and you're already developing a place there. But Africans, you always generally come lately, a day late and a dollar short, and you wonder how all these things happen because you get it in your mind, he said and she said. Why don't you get it firsthand? Why don't you read for yourself and find out what is going over in this country where we're now making the United States of Africa? Ladies and gentlemen, our time here, the 400 years, is almost up of coming out of slavery. Why must we enter into another situation? We should start something brand new. Under Project 2019, we are monitoring what's going to happen after the 400 years of coming out of slavery. We've got to do better than what we've been doing in the past, and we've got to know what's good for us, and we've got to also get in line first and not be the last recipient of everything that's handed out. Now, this is something that belongs to you. It's your birthright. It is your inalienable rights to have part in Africa. Mother Africa belongs to you, whether you want it or not. Now, if you don't want it, there are certainly people in line waiting to obtain it. They know of the rich resources there. It seems like you're the only one that believes that there's flies floating around fat bellies and eyelids. But for some reason, whites and Caucasians don't care. They make that journey. Anyway, by any means necessary, you too got to make that journey. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will make that journey. Why don't you make that journey? It's time for me to get out of here. I don't know about you, but I'm going to prepare to make that journey. If you haven't read on the internet, there are organizations that want to take you there. They want to employ you there. They want to find homes and land for you. You need to look at the opportunities. Caucasian, I thank you for sending missionaries there to come back to tell me of the great life. Now, I know that some missionaries are doing wrong things there. They're brainwashing our black people. I know that some of them have held the black people back and conditioned them for what is about to come. But God is a strange person. And as we say, we're trying to get to know the mind of God. God plans. And man plans, but God is the best of planners. What may have been meant and intended for harm, God is going to take the foolish things to conform the wise. He will use the African people to conform the world. We ought to be watching Africa. It is the seventh greatest wonder of the world. And what is currently going on there now, everyone should be observing it. African Americans, you stop being stiff-necked people. And not only believe in everything you hear, but researching for yourself. In this room, we believe in being literate. As for me and my house, we will read. We'll become literate. And if you can't read, and you've been out there listening to me, and you'd like to call me and tell me on the download, only I can read, can you help me? I will take the time to help you with all of my strength. Because I believe it's everybody's right. As for me and my house, I believe everyone should have the ability to read. It is your inalienable right. And if you're sitting out there, mothers and fathers and uncles and brothers, and you can't read, and we're coming on 4 days a week, and you need this gift, we want to give it to you. We are your servants. We want to help you. So if you need that help, call in today and talk to us about it at 646-478-0270. That's what this room is about, making you literate and conscious of what's happening. And we're going to open up the airways in the future for those people who want to call in to talk in the chat room to explain your situation, because we're here to be your servants and advocates. And as an emperor, I say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here now. It's about time that we tell you that it's important that you listen to our shows and understand that we're connecting with other organizations. We're connecting with the Black Star, who's going to be holding a conference this Saturday. We'll be interviewing them possibly on Friday to talk about their event. We're also going to be interviewing another organization in the Geminis Group who works with tutoring young people. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, you've heard my voice continuously. That's because I've had a mission, a ministry to give you. Yes, there's other people I could have had on the show, but I got to lay the foundation for you because this is a ministry. I hope you understand that. It's not where you just come and listen to all these fantastic guests, but a ministry. Because we have to touch lives, and this is the way I touch lives. And if someone of you have been touched, I want you to tap into the energy. I want you to go and find someone else you can bless with the gift of literacy. Take some time out for volunteer. We're talking about law in this role. How do you become a pro se candidate? How do you write your own interrogatories? How do you write your own motion? And how do you define what is law in your house? What is law in your house? You must define that before you can talk about pro se. Define law. Set up the standards in your household. Tell the people that come to live with you, here are my standards. Don't let people move in with you and change your standards. Don't let your children come back and hijack your household and make standards. Say to them, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And lay down the laws and stand by it. This is Omi signing off, telling you, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, and we shall get to know the mind of Christ, and he will call us friend. Has he called you friend lately? He wants to call you friend, too. Sit with him. Spend some time with him. I want to say a prayer for all the airways. Father, we pray today that Oludumare Ray, the God of the African race, Olorome and Oromola, they will begin to penetrate the minds of the African American and let them know that these were stolen concepts. They all connect back to Jesus. And let them understand they must lift up a standard in their household. And every household must have a standard. And they must have rituals. And they must have tradition. And they must know their heritage. And know that they have more than a heritage. They have a culture. And on that note, we say Odabo and Baba Boy to you, law. Y'all, we are out of here. We're going to get up out of here. We're out of here.
Oh, yeah. About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free. Baby, I'm your destination.
I'm making a disappear. Girl, let's get up out of here. See the light.
Now has gotten us up out of here. So I guess all I need to do is just disappear. I want to say Baba Booey to you, y'all. Thank you so very much for lending me your airways. I'll give you back your world now. And don't forget, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. If you haven't determined that yet, you ought to. And I want to say Baba Booey to you, y'all, and an aftermath Mother's Day gift. Have a great day, mothers, and remember, lift up a standard in your household wherever you are. Whoever comes in your airways, in your home, lift up a standard. I say Baba Booey to you, y'all. I will see you tomorrow, bright and early, 10:30 tomorrow, 10:30 p.m., and we'll be there, so you meet us there. Odabo.